great. Is there a question that leads to it?
Yes, I think there is. I think that there is implicit in each, this is my position now, implicit in each of these questions, a demand for the ultimate that is not satisfied as I just singly answer questions for intelligence, questions for rationality, questions for moral decision. In other words, I want complete intelligibility. I mean, ultimately, I want to understand not just this or that. I want to understand as much as I possibly can. And I want to understand everything. And it's because I want to understand everything that I ask individual questions about this, that, or the other thing. And I want an unconditioned truth. I do. In which my mind can rest. And I want an unqualified good. And that's why I keep asking questions about particular goods, because I want the unqualified good. And so I think the question of God, I believe, is operative in all of these questions as well. But sometimes it becomes disengaged as a distinct question. And I explicitly seek and find the unconditioned and unqualified people. Okay. So I think that human consciousness is really a pure question for God. And these other manifestations are unfoldings of that pure question which is headed and will not cease until the vision of God. At which point it rests in what it has been looking for. So those five levels of consciousness then, moving from below upwards. And I think that, I hope that the example that I gave you is one that will help to help you find those in yourself. Simply taking in sensory impressions, taking in sensory impressions but trying to organize them by insight, trying to understand. Having organized them, trying to figure out whether you've organized them correctly, whether there's a truth to the insight that you have. And then having arrived at a judgment of truth, asking the question of what is to be done about it. And then permeating that whole thing, the desire for the unconditioned and qualified here. Levels of consciousness moving from the world.
Sort of like those things can be present in person, individual. What makes those things operational in person?
Part of that I'm going to get to right now with affective self-transcendence. Okay? And then you tell me whether I've dealt with it satisfactorily after regard to it. I love it when you question me. So the next point, they're complexes and affective self-transcendence. With each one of those questions, there is a further degree of self-transcendence. To move out of the stupor of the animal to the intelligence of the human being, I've got to transcend the merely sensitive desire for just participating in the rhythms and flow of the body. Now, most of us are able to do that with some ease, sometimes. We don't always want to our consciousness to flow on a purely animal level. Okay. So to talk of self-transcendence at that point is doesn't sound too heroic. Our consciousness is generally more than simply the empirical flow of the animal's consciousness. Okay. But to move from insight to truth can sometimes be an extremely painful experience. To move from what might be so to the attempt to discover what really is the case demands that I move beyond what I just suppose. And that I don't remain satisfied with, well, I suppose this is the case, or this might be. That I make further effort test out my suppositions and verify them, that demands more self-transcendence, move more beyond. Not to live always just in the realm of the hypothetical of what might be the case, but to be faithful to my desire for truth demands that I test out various insights and see whether or not they are true. There are a lot of people who are very intelligent and not very rational. They're going around blabbering all kinds of insights, but they've never taken the time to check any of them out. And if they're articulate people, they're very dangerous people. An articulate, intelligent person who does not have the rationality to check out his insights is an extremely dangerous person. The demagogue is made out of that kind of person. And articulate all kinds of persuasive arguments, but is not interested in checking them out, or in particular is not interested in other people taking the time to check them out. Intelligence without rationality is a dangerous thing. So there's more self-transcendence that is demanded to move to the rational level. And then we all know the self-transcendence that is demanded to move from the truth to action, and how that calls us beyond ourselves. That we don't just rest in the truth, but we try to do something about it. Doing the truth, orthopraxis, a term that's frequently being used now in liberation theology. Not just orthodoxy, proclaiming the truth, but orthopraxis, acting in accordance with the truth. Demands that further self-transcendence. Now, as you move from one level to the next, you feel differently. Experience without understanding feels differently from experience combined with understanding. The feeling is different. Confusion feels different from clarity. There's a different feeling. Just noise coming in feels differently, registers differently affectively from insight into those words. You feel differently. You feel differently as you move to truth. From insight to truth. From I've got it, at the insight level, say I've got it. Then you test it out and you say, I've really got it. Yes. Feel it. Assurance about the judgment of truth when it has been verified, when it comes out of verification, but it's not present even when you've had your initial insight. And you feel differently as you move to decision. Your feeling, your psychic changes. Now, the psychic permeates them. All these levels of operations. They're all shot through with feeling. Those questions and the term of each question, insight, judgment, decision, they're all shot through with feeling. The psychic permeates the operations. And that psychic affective dimension of our being itself has got to be capable of self-transcendence. If I am going to be able consistently to perform those operations, of intelligence, of rationality, and of moral responsibility, my psyche has got to be free enough from myself that in fact I can, with relative ease, pursue the true and the good. No matter how painful that pursuit may be at times, and no matter how much it may draw me beyond myself, there has to be an affective self-transcendence, a psychic self-transcendence, or the creative vector is shortchanged along the way. It stops somewhere along the way. There is not that affective self-transcendence. Then there is a block to the operation of the creative vector of human question. Very frequently, to give an example, that block occurs between insight and the judgment of truth, between the second and the third levels. You gave an example before, see, of the difficulty that a person had moving from the possibility of an insight to the acceptance that that insight might be true. See, he understood what you were talking about when you were offering a possible interpretation of his behavior. See, he understood that. He did understand, so the intelligent level was operative. He knew what you were talking about. But there was a difficulty and there was an unfreedom. This is not the kind of thing that you blame people for. We're going to get into that in terms of how these are affective. Non-self-transcendence is a victim as much as it is anything else. But until that is healed, he cannot move to the question. There's an affective block of moving from the level of insight to the judgment. There's something affectively preventing that from happening. Okay. And again, now what I'm saying is that there's no way in which you want to blame, guilt, or anything else. What frequently is in the way there is a complex that has been victimized in our own history, goes way back, that we had nothing to do with in the first place. But the point is that there are affective blocks to self-transcendent performance.
Of course, it all runs together, too, because the fourth level of the decision, there's an intuitive... where the decision's going to take.
That's right.
A long way from
right.
Where you want to go.
That's right. So you can have the same kind of blockage that could occur.
Right.
And there are people, and they're more miserable than the others, who know the truth but refuse to do it. Mm. Know the truth but refuse or are unable. Are unable or unwilling to carry it out. Anyway, we'll come back to that in the next class. In brief compass, the question that was asked here, you see, what can keep this thing going is affective health, psychic health. Affective self-transcendence is what can keep these operations flowing in a smooth fashion. I'll spell that out in more detail in the next class. Thank you.